Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Andy said, let's get on with it. So now we're talking about Fat Man Scoop.
If you've got a $20 bill.
All the kids these days, they love Fat Man Scoop. Yeah.
And Jive Bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, are we ready, cousins? Welcome back to the Football Ramble's Guide to, your football equivalent of an all-you-can-eat buffet which will almost certainly give you food poisoning. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Truly great footballers can seem otherworldly to us mere mortals, and let's be honest, we love it.
Incredible. I don't think we've ever seen or ever will see anything like Lionel Messi again.
Whatever adds to football's escapism is good by us. And with that in mind, is there anything better than a player with a special move?
Oh, a beautiful dummy from Cruyff.
The Cruyff turn, the Panenka, the Rabona, all left a permanent mark. And for players, it's surely the ultimate achievement. Doing something so good, it becomes ingrained in the sport forever. You might think the term signature moves is more appropriate, but you'd be wrong. Consider the scorpion kick.
Red Knight. Goodness me, have you ever seen anything like that in your life? From a goalkeeper.
Does it sound like a signature move or something from Mortal Kombat?
Finish him.
Exactly, you nerd. A special move is a place to showcase skill, imagination, and a little bit of disrespect all at once. So get over here, because today we bring you the Football Ramble's Guide to Special Moves. Hadouken! That was my spin on Hadouken.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
It needs to be a bit higher pitch.
Yeah. Well, go on.
Hadouken.
Ah, that's good. I've only seen you do a Hadouken once or twice, but it is very impressive.
Yeah. It's clearly not in my pantheon of impressions.
I was more of a...
No, I meant the move.
Yeah. I was more of a sonic boom.
Kind of guy. A bit of guile.
Yeah.
Bit of guile. Gentlemen, when you think of a trademark or signature move in football, what or who springs to mind? Andy Brassel.
Top brass. I'm still thinking of the original PlayStation. I'm thinking of Wu-Tang Taste the Pain. Oh, that was a really underrated game.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Never played it.
Yeah, it was like a beat 'em up, but you were basically Wu-Tang Clan members.
Such a great idea.
They all had their different styles. You had ODB's drunk style.
Mm.
Yeah. It was excellent. But they all had their Shaolin style, didn't they? Oh, yeah. Well, if we're talking about Double X and R2 and the special move
in football sense,
I'm going to go for Cristiano Ronaldo's knuckleball free kick.
It's a big start. It's a blockbuster start.
You've got the Ronaldo chop, which he's quite famed for as well, which is when he sort of shuffles along and then moves the ball along with his trailing leg and just takes everyone out. But you've gone for the knuckleball. I like that. He's got a couple of big options and he's a big character in terms of this.
I've gone for that because it feels wonderfully retro because he's not very good at free kicks.
He doesn't
really
do it now, yeah.
No, I mean, the big one as well, and the other reason I picked it is because the really big one is that one, if we go back to the start of 2008, against Portsmouth.
That's
the iconic one.
That is.
It was.
It's up there, Luke Moore.
It's an absolutely remarkable goal. And I think I'm right in saying, in fact, I'll flip it around to be a quiz. So actually, we could talk about how one of these special moves, the one you've mentioned, the Cristiano Ronaldo knuckleball, has influenced and inspired a top world-class footballer to this day. He was in the stadium on that occasion and completely inspired by it. Do you know who it was?
No.
Janino Pernambucano.
It was a young Mason Mount.
Wow.
Who was a Portsmouth fan. Him and his family are big Portsmouth fans. He was at Old Trafford and he has repeatedly said that was one of the best moments of football for him as a kid.
I mean, it doesn't sound like that much of us a Portsmouth fan. They won the FA Cup later.
It's true.
That season. Having the last laugh.
No, was it that season or was this not after that?
Good question.
I can't remember.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Quite often the ball moves in the air and we're sort of, very, very delighted to see that. But it practically wrote CR7 before it went into the corner.
Yeah, you're right.
Phenomenal.
Well, and it's good to remind ourselves of that, Jim, because actually this was a time when Ronaldo, of course, was a phenomenal player, but he was becoming that phenomenal player. He wasn't the world-beating greatest of all time.
That was his first walking on water season,
Was that the season where he scored like 38 goals or something?
It was utterly
Yeah, and United win the European Cup at the end of it. Yeah. So it was 07-08 then.
Yeah,
yeah.
The season Portsmouth won the FA Cup.
Correct.
Just want to get it in there, brother.
So, Andy, for people who don't necessarily know that much about this or are new to the game or new to this show, how would you describe the knuckleball? What actually is it? It's like, I guess it's what a variation on what people in the 80s would have called a hard man shot.
Yeah.
Where you're like defensive midfielder who scores one goal a season, belts it from miles out, and it flies in the top corner.
Julian Dick stuff.
Yes, that kind of business. Terry Hurlock.
Now you're talking.
What we're looking at. But it's a variation on that because the technique, the slight hitting across the ball of the laces makes it dip as well. It's like a big dipper. Now, when I put this forward as my special move, Marcus was going, "You're not going to go for Janino Pernambucano?" And he was really disappointed.
Still,
the thing is, Janino Pernambucano's free kick, it's not one special move because it's a series of them. He has the daisy cutter, the big dipper, the power drive, the curler. He's got all of them. Yeah. Whereas this became
spinning bird kick. That was him, wasn't it?
That was a spinning pile driver as well. Yeah. But do you feel though that it would be too vague then to say Janino Pernambucano's move was the free kick?
Yeah.
It's a bit too vague.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is. Whereas Ronaldo changed the way he took free kicks and became very successful at them. Now, I think if you look at him post 2014 World Cup, it really falls off.
But does he not do one in the 2018 World Cup against Spain? Would that be one?
No, but that's a curler.
That's
different. That's not a knuckleball.
So the idea of the knuckleball is, I would describe it thus. I would say, and I think there's a bit of pseudoscience involved in this, but I think the idea is you strike the valve of the football with a certain part of your foot, which reduces the surface area So you're hitting it with a certain part of your foot where the surface area is smaller and therefore more powerful, and it makes the ball, rather than spin like it does when you curl it, it goes flat and straight, but it wobbles and moves, right? And then it's very hard for the goalkeeper to pick up the flight and all the rest of it. And that's basically why he's doing it, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you, yeah. Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
But with the valve, the whole
kicking, I'm more Beaker, man.
But the whole, yeah, I know you're talking. But the whole kind of hitting the valve, surely that was the pseudoscience.
I think so. But I do think there's something in the surface area reduction of hitting it with a certain part of your foot, which makes the ball move in a different way.
Right.
I think.
Okay. While we briefly come back to Janino, I just think it's worth pointing out, because a lot of listeners will have never known this or might have forgotten it. He was so good at the variety of free kicks we've discussed. It got to the point where goalkeepers stopped using a wall.
Yeah.
Just so they'd get a better look at where the ball was coming. And that is phenomenal.
It got to the point where he could tell you where he was going to put it and you still wouldn't be able to save it.
Indeed.
I mean, he was interesting, because he went off to train with rugby clubs to get different variations from their kickers.
Wow.
To figure out different ways of taking free kicks.
You always, Gina, didn't you? Why didn't you pick him?
Let's change it up. Because this one Cristiano Ronaldo free kick is iconic, and it made him from an okay free kick taker into an amazing free kick taker. And he goes along scoring 5 or 6 free kicks a season, you know, which is, I think, a pretty decent return.
It's a very good return. Yeah.
Right up until that point, there's a real big statistical cutoff after the 2014 World Cup where he loses all his power, and he becomes like a solely penalty box player afterwards. He loses all his power during the World Cup, I should say.
Is that when you were in the Portugal camp?
Maybe.
Okay.
And he's, after that, he never quite recovers that shooting power. He scores far less long range goals after that. And of course, he continues taking free kicks in the sort of volume that says, I'm an expert at this, but he's got such a low percentage return after that. Yeah. And of course, he goes 2 years between, I think, 2020 and 2022 without scoring a free kick at club level.
That was the thing with Roberto Carlos, of course. He had many, many great free kicks. His move would have been the little tippy-toe run-up, maybe.
Yeah,
but you've gone for Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay, that's grand. Jim Campbell, your example of this?
I've gone for a move from one of my favourite ever players, Andres Iniesta and La Croqueta, which is essentially you shift the ball very quickly from one foot to the other before then powering away from the defender. It's very, very simple move, but it seemed to be something that just nobody had an answer to. And it looks so fluid. It just completely, it's what Iniesta looked like. The ball was part of his body almost. And this was the move that kind of defined that, I think. And on top of that, next to him, Xavi had a move known as La Pelopina, which is essentially sort of shielding the ball, then running kind of 360 degrees backwards around the player and then just passing it off or powering away. And like the two of them buzzing around doing all these mad little things was a phenomenon to see. But I think just with Iniesta, it is something that looks so, so simple. But it's just essentially moving the ball from one foot to another.
Yeah, it's
but
a bit
it
of
would
a shuffle.
Take a player out. He could do it at such speed and with such sort of elegance to the motion that it just would completely take players out of the game.
You know what? I saw, and you're going to laugh at me, I saw Mitrovic do that against Brighton the other night.
You're right about one thing.
Yeah.
I did laugh at you. it's called that because it's how the how Spanish chefs move the batter from one hand to the other.
That's
in
exactly
making something
right.
Like making the cricketer, right? The cricket, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I suppose he kind of mastered that. There's other players that have used it and deployed it, but he did it so much to the point of when a player does that so effectively, you think, hang on, is this player left footed or right footed?
Yeah.
And it's a very effective move. And compared to some other things, you know, with some skill that's the great Ronaldo or Cristiano or Ronaldinho, you think, how on earth do you sort of do that? Yeah. How do you use your foot move? That is very simple but effective.
It's funny because when we were talking, you and I were talking a while back, Marcus, about Zinedine Zidane and how he's maybe the most balletic player.
So he did that a bit.
That's ever been. Iniesta's really close.
Yeah.
That sort of level of balance and grace.
Actually, there's a similarity to that as well, because Zidane was almost like a... I remember somebody telling me that Zidane was really interested in parkour because it's about getting to the goal in as few moves as possible. And obviously,
so
if you've
free
got
running, isn't it?
Yeah, if you've got the sort of execution to be able to do these things that are very difficult, even if they, and yet like economic with time and space, then it looks spectacular. And Michael Laudrup actually is credited with kind of potentially inventing La Croqueta, but it became assigned to Andres Iniesta, much as Ken and Ryu have the same special moves. I think you can share them out sometimes.
I feel like Jim... Sorry, go on.
So Laudrup said, La Croqueta is a piece of skill that exists not because it looks nice, but because it serves the purpose of setting you up for the next pass. And it's all about that economy.
I think it's also hugely impactful as well, right? Because it's about, you know, the extension of it is essentially allowing Barcelona of that era to play in the way they wanted to play, i.e. to retain possession almost to the point of ridiculousness. Mm. And what, if you're going to take that kind of reputation that Barcelona had between what it was 08 and 12 or whatever, you would say that they were really, you know, really good at keeping the ball. And the reason why, and the reason they're really good at keeping the ball, was because in tight spaces, Iniesta and Xavi were absolutely unbelievable. Mm. Two of the best you've ever seen, maybe the best you have ever seen, at getting out of tight spaces. And that move is a completely, like, massively important part of what they were trying to do.
It allowed them to run through teams, which is, you know, one of the hardest things.
Yeah, no, absolutely phenomenal.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Luke Moore.
So I want to also take you to one of my favourite players ever. I want to take you back to...
Go on. Some world beater.
Pedro Mensch.
Take you back to... Do you mind casting your minds back to 2006?
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Can you do that?
Sven's England.
Yeah, there we go.
Baden, if you will.
Well, this guy's not...
Is it going to be Cristiano Ronaldo's wink? I mean, we've had him already.
No. Wayne Rooney stamp.
He's not troubling the England international scene. He did occasionally trouble the Republic of Ireland scene, but a little bit before that. I am, of course, talking about the time that, admittedly, first of all, on loan from Sunderland, a young... Actually, not that young. He would have been about 30 at the time. wandered in to the Stoke City dressing room for
the
first time.
Here we go.
And said, yes, I can play a bit. You haven't seen that much of me in my two league appearances on loan. But if I side permanently for you, Stoke, I've got something in my locker.
Go on.
That's going to terrorise the whole of North London for a good while. I am, of course, talking about the great Rory Delap.
Ah, hello.
And his legendary throw-in.
Oh, yes.
So, I didn't...
Hang on. So, we've gone from Cristiano Ronaldo, Andres Iniesta, and Rory Delap.
What's your point?
I'm just saying it's good to know that you are grounded.
Main event.
Yeah.
No, it's a hundred hand slap.
Yeah.
It's simple, but it's very effective.
I started looking for players with special moves. Now, I found something called the Blomqvist Shuffle, which I'd never heard of, which is basically Jesper Blomqvist doing something that Pele did famous in the World Cup, where he runs around the keeper lets the ball go.
Yeah.
Apparently Blomqvist used to do a bit of that. Right. Anyway, I found the Roy de Lapp throw, and I thought, okay, I'll have a look into this. I had no idea how seismically impactful on the internet Rory de Lapp's throw-ins have been, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is unbelievable the amount of coverage there is online about it.
A piece of internet the size of Ireland?
I would say so, absolutely. which I don't think Rory de Lapp ever really visited until he played for Ireland. but there are think pieces, there are summaries, there are deep dives, there is a YouTube compilation put together by the official Sky Sports Premier League account on YouTube, by the way, of every goal scored as a direct result of a Rory de Lapp throw.
Do you want to take us through what it looked like?
Sure, I will. So basically,
do you want to take us through how many of them were against Arsenal?
Yeah, well, it's time for that. Don't worry. There's a lot of common denominators here. You'll like this. So apparently, Rory de Lapp was a schoolboy javelin champion. So he was going to become a football player, but he also had a lot of athletic prowess. And he started throwing the ball in throw-ins in training, I think, just to muck around. Mm-hmm. And he realised he could get him to about, you know, sometimes he'd get him up to 40 metres, right?
That's impressive.
But it's not just the fact that someone would take a throw-in from that part of the pitch that people would recognise and loop one in to cause a bit of mayhem. He could actually bullet them in. Now, if you watch them back now, they're like bullets, right? He throws them really flat.
At an angle you couldn't do with your foot.
Exactly. So it becomes almost the apex, the apotheosis of this is when Baez Mahiu, I think for Hull City, puts a ball out for a corner rather than a throw-in because he knows that Roy de Lapp's playing, right?
Yeah.
So he's able to do that. It's very difficult to defend against. It's not just about distance. As I've said, it's about trajectory and pace. Stoke City's Facebook page to this day have a series of videos called Throw It, where every so often they share a Roy de Lapp throw-in that's resulted in their goal. Right, the compilation goes on for about 5 minutes on the Sky Sports website.
Oh, my goodness.
At 40% of the goals as a result of the throw-in are scored by Ricardo Fuller.
Love that.
Which is always enjoyable.
That's amazing. Right?
Every single one of them vies for the very worst goal you've ever seen, right? Which I think we could all enjoy. And a lot of them are... So you've got 40% scored by Ricardo Fuller. I'd say 40% of them scored against Arsenal. And the other 20% are own goals by defenders having a complete meltdown, not knowing what to do. Yeah.
That is the ultimate stop hitting yourself, isn't it? Yeah, goal from a de Lapp throw-in.
But at the time... So Roy de Lapp played for Stoke City between full-time as a permanent player from 2007-2013. The first 5 or 6 years of the Football Ramble, basically, where Roy de Lapp was doing this stuff. And we would talk about it quite a lot. And at the time, it seemed quite funny, quite comedy that it would keep getting Arsenal in the shit and that teams couldn't defend against
it. They would use towels to dry the ball.
And Tony Pulis eventually starts. This is why it's such an interesting phenomenon. Tony Pulis starts accentuating his ability to do it. So he makes the pitch narrower. Mm. He moves the advertising boards back so he's got longer runner. But in return, other teams start bringing advertising boards closer to the pitch when they're playing Stoke, so Roy de Lapp can't get a run up. Then they start.
That is incredible.
Then they start lobbying the Premier League for stopping towels being allowed next to the pitch,
that's right.
Which they eventually did because Pulis was facilitating that with towels when it was a rainy day. And of course, the pitch is watered anyway. Mm. But
the other teams spring into action to make these decisions because they're so scared of this move. But you're right; I didn't think of this.
It was genuinely dangerous.
Yeah, because people would think. Oh, it's primitive. It's kind of, well, really, is that why you want to play football? Because at this time, 2007, 2008. Guardiola's Barcelona start playing 2009, 2010. And there was a feeling around the world of that's how you play football. And if you don't play anything near that kind of football, if the ball's in the air, then you're absolute Luddites. Yeah. And I think that's what used to frustrate Pulis at the time. And obviously,
but also that frustration became his biggest advantage. Wasn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah.
But I would say that at the time, I believe, and I might be wrong on this, but I believe that we just thought it was funny, right? I
mean,
just defend a throw-in, it's easy.
Yeah, but genuinely very interesting as well. It's something new. And how often, again, that's the whole point of the show we're doing, isn't it? A special move is such a rare thing.
But I think there was, honestly, I know this sounds ridiculous, but there was a little bit of a feeling of if you scored from a corner, it's like, well, that's
you're right.
You know what I mean, Andy?
You're absolutely right.
Goal.
But
what you were saying there about other teams bringing in the advertising hoardings, complaining about the towels, they're all very much marginal gains. Because if you compare Rory de Lapp to other long throwers, it would have been easier and he would have succeeded more
if he was in the 80s, for example, mm-hmm. because you had stadiums where there was space around the pitch.
Yeah.
By this point, the Premier League has started changing. It started developing. And one of the things about the Premier League is the stands and a tighter into the pitches, especially in new stadiums.
Also, Andy, back in the 80s where you could, you know, club goalkeepers with your elbow and all that kind of
imagine
stuff.
Him, imagine
that
too.
When you could bring bats on.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine
yeah.
Him You're determined to bring Andy Gray into this, aren't you?
I really have not.
The London Stadium would be a lovely bit of room for
oh,
a
man. Lap, yeah. Well, you could do a lap oh, of yeah. it first and
what,
then
what
a
was,
lap
what
of
was,
it.
What I was just going to say was that if you watch it back now,
yeah.
it is unlike any other throw.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just he's not just pumping it into the box high and looping. It's flat.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The trajectory is very, very quick. And you can absolutely see. In fact,
it's impressive and people were quick to sniff at it.
Do you know what?
And we would have probably as well.
It's arguably more dangerous than a corner because if you think of the point where the ball is coming from, it's coming from over the head. So it's already at about 6.5 feet high and it goes flat in. Like a corner, it comes up and goes down again. You can whip it and stuff.
Yeah.
But obviously defenders will go at the front post to stop it being whipped in and all the rest of it. I think by its nature, it's harder to defend against than a traditional corner would be.
And add on to the fact that you can't be offside from it.
Quite, yeah. exactly. And there's an amazing, I couldn't find it in the compilation, but there's an amazing incident, and I forget who the team it was against, but he throws one in really fast and flat, and it doesn't hit anyone. And the goalkeeper has the chance to save it, but he knows if he gets a hand on it and it goes in, it's going to be a goal. So he just leaves it and it goes in. Oh. Everyone celebrates.
That's
and the goal,
nerve.
Of course, yeah. That's like
nerve.
Proper IQ. That.
Really astronaut level stuff, that.
And one thing is also, just finally, to sum up, one thing that I found really interesting about this is that the YouTube video itself is full of comments of younger football fans who didn't know about this.
Mm.
And a lot of them have come to Rory Delap via Liam Delap, his son, who plays up front for Man City. I think he's on loan somewhere else at the moment.
Stoke,
right? So some of these comments are really funny. So this commenter here said, I brought this video to show my younger sister Rory Delap's skills because we're Man City fans and I was telling her who Liam Delap's dad is. I only met her to show her a couple of the throws to give her an idea, but we ended up watching the whole thing because it's so mesmerising.
it's unbelievable, isn't it? Like, you know, so much of defending is muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
And that was utterly, utterly unique. I'm surprised that it's not trained in players now. Because it's such a weapon.
It's a very distinctive skill to be good at, though.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I think you've been very fair, actually. I think a lot of people, as I keep stressing, were very sniffy towards it. So I think it's good to be reminded of. It also gave a chap, whose name I can't remember, which is poor, he was the year below me at school, it gave him a bit of airtime on Sky Sports News because he was 6'10", I think, or 6'9", like incredibly tall. I may have added a few extra inches, but you know, very...
Don't we all?
Yeah, indeed.
As usual.
And he had a very long throw, but like played for a local amateur side, like at no level. And Sky Sports News thought, well, this is obviously worthy, and put him on there. And he was just there in his chair going, you know, sometimes, you know, it can give us an advantage. And there was just no insight. Very, very good. I have chosen one. Often goalkeepers are overlooked, so I've gone for a goalkeeper here. I mean... The honourable mention, of course, which was done, was the scorpion kick, René Higuita, which was just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
He, by the way, he said that he did see the linesman's flag go up.
And that's why he did it.
And that's why he did
it. That makes it worse, then.
I think it makes the quick thinking quite spectacular.
There's no jeopardy, though.
Do you remember watching it live? It's a strange launch from Jamie Redknapp, isn't it? You think, that's an odd... Is that a cross? Is that a shot? What is that?
And neither.
Then Higuita just... No. Jumps up.
Don't worry, Jamie. I'll take the heat off you.
Yeah. No one knew what was happening from what I remember watching it. No one knew what he had done.
It was the most spectacular thing I'd ever seen on a football pitch. I would go as far to say at the time.
How would you? If people haven't seen it. How would you describe?
Well, he jumps forward as if he's like diving into a swimming pool, and then his back legs go up at the back like a scorpion's tail, and he boots the ball,
volleys it
very
away.
Far away.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable. I mean, I know we've seen, like, people now say when Giroud scored that great goal for Arsenal, it was a bit of scorpion kick and so on. But Higuita had practiced it, and he knew what he was doing. And for such an eccentric goalkeeper, an eccentric man, who had plastic surgery not that long ago and so on, and said, I'm fed up of being ugly. Man. You know, I mean, that's the type of chap he is.
You and me both, Renee.
And yeah. you know, an incredible man. But that's not what I'm going for. I'm going for the Peter Schmeichel starfish save.
Nice.
Yes. Very nice.
Which we've seen Kasper use as well. So he's influenced his son, as you would expect.
Yeah.
But this save was incredible. From my memory, the first time he did this
was against Inter in the Champions League in the treble winning season. That's the first time I remember seeing it. I'm sure people will say we maybe did it before.
That was his last season at United, so he would have done it before that.
Almost certainly. Yeah. But that was a very famous one. I think it may have been Ivan Zamorano. Manchester United were 2-0 up.
Nice for him to get a mention.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. 2-0 up. It was in the last minute of the game. And of course, in those big European ties, as they still are to an extent, but you know, you were playing these magnificent foreign players, and of course no English side had won the Champions League at that point. They haven't even reached a final. Manchester United have tried, blah, 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 blah. Last minute, Zamorano with a chance, a header, close range. Did well to get it. I think it was a diving header. And Schmeichel just brings out this save where he spreads his body wide and makes an unbelievable stop. And a part of you is thinking, is that lucky? Mm. Because he's just thrown his body open. But then you think, well, actually, the header was so close range that actually, to use your instincts and your reflexes to try and respond to that, probably wouldn't be quick enough.
Mm. Well, it's the ultimate example of make yourself big, isn't it?
Exactly.
Again, I imagine if you are the player approaching Schmeichel with that, you are a regular man running along. There is another regular man coming towards you. Yeah. Suddenly that man is a polar bear.
Yeah. And he was massive anyway.
Exactly. What, I mean, what a great goalkeeper. But to do that as well, to increase your chances of saving. I mean, it is a percentage move.
I mean, he's a very unorthodox keeper. Mm. And that's what makes him such an icon. People forget
that, because he was one of the greatest goalkeepers we've seen in this country, certainly. And you would say one of the greatest in his generation. But actually, you can forget the unorthodox nature.
That's the thing. I remember him saving a near-certain goal against Wimbledon with his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of those ones where it really clocks you in five aside, and you've got to pretend it doesn't hurt, even though it feels like your face has gone concave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like
that. Well, the other move of Schmeichel's, I mean, we could have picked, was going up for a corner at the end of the game, because he was the first goalkeeper.
Was he really?
That I can remember. Again, South America may say that's nonsense. Our goalkeepers used to do that all the time, in the 25th minute even. But, you know, but Schmeichel used to do that. He scored, of course, in Europe, I think maybe in UEFA
Cup. Right to Volgograd.
Yeah. Was it? Well, I thought it was Old Trafford.
Yeah, it was against Rota Volgograd.
Sorry. Yeah. And he did score a nice, kind of quite spectacular volley against Wimbledon, maybe.
It was a scissors kick that was ruled out.
But it was offside, sadly. Yeah.
I have a suspicion that Ferguson wanted to sign Barthez because he was looking to replace a character as much as a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I think that might have been one of his...
So, and I think, you know, the Barthez move was the old appeal for offside when no one's taking any notice.
Oh, yeah.
But Schmeichel, that was a move that is specifically related to Peter Schmeichel. And when you think of him, you do think of that. So it's definitely great to have it in it. It's definitely great to have a goalkeeper included.
And Kasper did it recently as well.
And obviously he's...
It does increase his chances of getting hit in the balls as well.
Well, exactly right. But what he's doing is essentially, as you've alluded to, it's the law of averages. You're making your surface area as large as possible to give yourself a chance to save it, right?
Yeah.
And I remember one of my memories of Peter Schmeichel, probably towards the mid to late 90s, and he was an outstanding goalkeeper. I know that people have their own opinions on this, and there were other keepers around, you know, Buffon, for example, who's still playing now madly, but Schmeichel, I think, was for me the best. He's the first goalkeeper I ever remember where your whole frame of reference would change when someone went through on goal.
Yeah.
When someone went through on goal, you'd be like, oh, they're going to fucking score. It'd be really exciting.
Yeah,
everyone would get excited because you think there's about to be a goal, right?
Yes.
It completely flipped when Peter Schmeichel was in goal because you think, oh, he's going to save it.
He's
and he would
smother.
Do the star on the ground as well.
I know.
Yeah,
and that really was putting his body on the line. Yeah. It was incredible. So good for the goalkeepers to get a mention.
Definitely.
But back to the outfield players, though. Sam Bennett tweeted us and was straight in with a Cuauhtémoc Blanco bunny hop.
That was
incredible.
It was pointless as well. Though.
But that was kind of the joy of it, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't pointless because he kept the ball. He was in a tight corner. It was a game for Mexico at the 98 World Cup against South Korea. He was in a tight space, needed to jinx past the defenders. Well, you've got to keep the football, Jim.
Yeah.
He
essentially picked the ball up with his legs and jumped, didn't he?
Well, in between two...
Surely obstruction.
Nah.
Not in the 90s.
I guess so.
He played for Club America in 2016 when he was 43.
But better. Isn't that
more impressive?
Do your bunny hop over back.
isn't that what makes the Cuauhtémoc so good? Is that like anyone can do it?
Yeah.
I mean, because part of the joy of a World Cup is seeing something on the telly and then going out in the street when you're a kid and thinking, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
What about the Charlie Adams try and score from the halfway line?
Love that. Or corner.
Yeah, that's a special move.
Here's one I'm going to bring to the table for the beards. Have you ever heard of Riccardo Bocchini? Not many people would have done. Argentinian player, played the vast majority, if it is safe to say he played all of his career, Independiente, an absolute legend there. He was in the squad for the 86 World Cup, I believe. He's got 28 caps for Argentina. Maradona said he was his childhood idol.
Right.
A midfield player, very, very technically gifted player, of course. And he, the kind of through ball in Argentina is called the Bocinesco. It's named after him because he would do it so well and so effectively. Yeah. Now, you think to yourself, well, that's just a pass. You know, I mean, we just talk about the Iniesta or Xavi thread and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Hey, man, a dragon punch is just an uppercut. It's exactly. about how you do it.
Exactly. Exactly right. But that's what they call it in Argentina, the Bocinesco.
Nice.
Which is a
we've got
one.
Any other listener contributions?
There was some less earnest contributions from our listeners. Both Natalie and Sobbers here said, the Scott Parker 360 turn without touching the ball.
That is a classic.
I think that's a bit naughty.
He was a fine
player, Scott Parker.
He was, and I think that's fine.
All right, okay.
And in my mind, he would touch the ball. He would just move it in very kind of slow increments around in a circle.
Yeah, or a sideways pass. He did like a sideways pass.
Like Ray Wilkins was called the crab for that exact reason.
Yeah, well,
so we're dishing that out. We're dishing it out to Butch.
That's very nice.
Barker.
That's very nice. I thought about the Zlatan Ibrahimovic sort of karate kick.
Yeah,
yes. He did that so many times in so many ways. Very
but actually,
effective.
he practiced martial arts, didn't he? So exactly. he properly put the research into that.
Went with the territory.
It's like Peter Schmeichel and transferable skills, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. What about the Frank Rijkaard spit?
Also known as the Rudy Voller spit. Marcus, do Tom Dyson's.
Tom Dyson's. The fizzer step over. And I think I don't know if Tom is referencing this or not, but the time when Al Fizzer was playing for Manchester United at fullback, and he said that he did a couple of step overs and he sort of went down the line and crossed the ball and the crowd like, "Whey!" You know, and he was like, "Oh, I'll have another go," and he did it again. So he tried it a third time and messed up, and Roy Keane said to him, "Oi, stop effing about like that," basically.
Apparently Roy Keane, David Beckham, Ryan Giggs regularly don't rip him for it even now.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, because he thought to be fair, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
True.
Who was on the end of it? We don't know. But speaking of big moves, we've got to talk about the Cruyff turn, of course. Johan Cruyff's famous signature move. Now, there's a bit of controversy.
This is interesting.
Because should it be called the Alston turn? Because apparently an Australian player called Adrian Alston did the same move 5 days before Johan Cruyff in their first game of the 74 World Cup against East Germany. And Alston said in 2020, it's on YouTube 5 days before Cruyff did it. And it's an absolute beauty, by the way.
He gets completely taken out,
doesn't he? He does, yeah. But the reason is because he's done them all. He said, so if you have a look at it, it's a fact. Later on, his roommate told me, Cruyff's roommate told me that he was watching it on TV and said, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
So the jury, only because they got to the final did they notice him. But I play it every night before I go to bed, so don't worry.
Yeah,
he's okay.
Reminder that Johan Cruyff used to ignore the traffic lights in Amsterdam because he thought the system was wrong.
There's no.
So when that man thinks he can do something, he will just.
He's
go
also
and
been
do
proven
it.
Right because they've removed all the traffic lights in Amsterdam now.
There you go.
I don't know if it's because of Cruyff, but they aren't any now, are there? Famously, it's not gotten.
That is incredible. That is incredible.
But I think this probably would have happened quite a lot, wouldn't it? We're in an age now where pretty much everything. Is televised and then is on the internet forever. But this sort of move might have been done before and we wouldn't have seen
but this kind of thing happens a lot because, you know, it puts me in the mind of the idea of the Bunsen burner.
Oh, yeah.
Stay with me. Mm. Robert Bunsen didn't invent the Bunsen burner.
No.
It was invented by, I think, initially by Michael Faraday and then by a guy called R.W. Ellsberg or something like that. Eisner, something like that.
Mm.
And Bunsen sort of standardised it
and
everyone called it the Bunsen burner. And I think if you were the guy before that who actually came up with the idea of it, you'd be fucking pissed off about that. So I'm all for Adrian Alston.
Well, Thomas Crapper, it was the ball cock, not the toilet he invented.
There we go.
You see? It was George Toilet that invented the toilet, of course.
Johnny Shitter.
A few quick honorable mentions. The Andre Kanchelskis standing on the ball.
Yeah.
Was that really a signature move?
Totally
either, like,
unnecessary.
He did it like twice.
Yeah, well, still.
That'll do.
Or the Luis Suarez bite.
Yeah. the Totti chip was outrageous. He once did it against Lazio from outside the box. The disrespect.
Would you mean the Carlos Vela dink if we're going to do
that? Yeah, but I mean, Totti's were proper lobs from
Guys,
a long way out. Yeah.
The Tim Henman chip and charge.
Chip and charge.
Let's end with that.
I think we should.
Yeah.
And an image of Tim Henman's dad.
A cliff pumping his fist. Celebrating. Tim Henman's dad, the British George Bush.
Oh, I love that. I'm sure there are many other moves and signature moves.
Send them in.
Missed.
We'll do another one if you want.
Get them involved.
We'll do a part two.
We might well do if you're good. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us for another Football Ramble Guide 2. Remember, as Lucas said there, we want your ideas for what to talk about next. We've had loads so far, so thank you very much for that. We're going through them all, and we'll pick out some favourites as the season goes on. If you fancy learning more about one of football's new fads or traditional trends, then get in touch and tell us. Email us, show@footballramble.com, or tweet us @FootballRamble with your suggestions. We'll see you next time. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.